Turn your Bibles this morning to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33. Deuteronomy 33, we'll be reading verses 26 through verse 29. I'll read those even verses if you'll join with me on verses 27 and 29. What a joy it is to be able to read God's book this morning. If you found that, if you'll please stand in honor of reading of God's Word. I'll begin there in Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse number 26. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. And let's pray again this morning. God, what an opportunity we have to hear from heaven. Lord, we need that fresh anointing, that Holy Spirit power to come upon this place this morning. We are nothing without you, and so pray this morning that your presence would be here, would be felt. I pray that we'd respond as we are to do in invitation time. Lord, again, be with the preacher, the listener, and Lord, we'll thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen.
I thirsted in the barren land of sin and shame, and nothing satisfying there I found. But to the blessed cross of Christ one day I came, where springs of living water did abound. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul may satisfy. I'm drinking at the springs of living water. Oh, wonderful and bountiful supply! How sweet the living water from the hills of God! It makes me glad and happy all the way. Now glory, grace, and blessing mark the path I trod. I'm shouting hallelujah every day.
Drinking of the springs of living water.
Drinking of the springs of water.
Happy now that I, my soul is
wonderful and bountiful
supply. Oh, sinner, won't you come today to Calvary? A fountain there is flowing deep and wide. The Savior now invites you to the water. Thirsting spirits can be satisfied. I'm drinking at the springs of living water. Happy now am I, my soul is satisfied. I'm drinking at the springs of living water. Oh, wonderful and bountiful supply. Oh, wonderful and bountiful supply.
For the arrangement of that good song this morning. All right, we're in Deuteronomy 33 today, and I want to draw your attention to that passage we read with Brother Bragg just a moment ago. And I want to speak today on simply this, the incomparables. The incomparables, and I think you'll see it as we get into the text here this morning. But let's pray together. We'll ask God to bless the message on the incomparables this morning. Our Father, we bow before you today, and I'm excited, Lord, about the content of the message this morning, but I realize that without the touch of your Spirit, it'll be a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. And Lord, without love in my heart for the Lord Jesus and for these people, it just won't do anything. So right now, I give myself to you. I ask for a clean and pure heart. Lord, I ask for a controlled mind and tongue. I ask, God, for the fullness of the Spirit upon everything that's done and said this morning in the message. Lord, that the Word of God might be open to our eyes, that we might behold wondrous things out of it, be blessed and helped by it. And so we'll thank You for it in advance. It's a great text. It's a perfect book. Lord, just help us now as we enter into preaching it. We pray in Jesus' name and amen. At some point in your life, you experienced something that was without compare. It was incomparable, of no comparison with others, without an equal, unable to be compared with. I think you kind of get the idea of the definition of the word incomparable. Maybe it was a place that you visited. Maybe an event that took place that you were involved in. Maybe a trip that you took, and when you returned, or when the event was over, somebody who wasn't there asked you the question, "What was it like?" And your answer was something like this: "It was like nothing I have ever done before. It was like nothing I have ever seen before. It was like nothing I'd ever been involved in before." In other words, it was incomparable. Elijah, we got a boy walking around in and out back there. Could y'all help him, Joe, please, in the foyer there, find out what he needs this morning? That's not the age. He's a young child. I don't want him in trouble, okay? So, incomparable. Now, that's what I want to talk about this morning. Moses had reached the end of his incredible life, and he brought the children of Israel here in Deuteronomy to the border of Canaan land for the second time. He had them there previously, and they didn't go in. So this is the second time. He had prepared them to go in. He was not going in with them. In fact, after he speaks the words in chapter 33, verses 26 through 29, he dies. Chapter 34 is about Moses' death. So that means the words here, verses 26 through 29, they were Moses' last words to the people of Israel. He's 120 years old. In chapter 34, verse 10, the Bible tells us that there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. So here was a great man at the end of his life, an incredible life, all of it spent with the children of Israel. And these are his last words to them. Look at verse number 26. He says there at the beginning, "There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun." Incomparable. And then he says in verse number 29, "Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord." Incomparable. So in his last words to the children of Israel, he mentions two incomparables. I want to talk about those two incomparables this morning in the message. First of all, I want us to see the incomparable God of Israel. The incomparable God of Israel. That's in verse number 26. "There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun." You say, what's Jeshurun? Well, Jeshurun is a poetical name for the people of Israel. It's used four times in the Old Testament, and this is what it means. It means supremely happy people, or the dear upright people. It was a poetic name for the children of Israel. So Moses was saying to them, "There is none like unto the God of you dear people. There is none like unto the God of you supremely happy people. Hey people, your God is incomparable." And folks, that's true. To whom could Moses compare the God of Israel? Who could he compare him to? He couldn't compare the God of Israel to the gods of the Ammonites, or the gods of the Moabites, or the gods of the Philistines, or the gods of the Hittites. He couldn't compare the God of Israel to any god, because all the other gods were false gods. Gods that could not hear, gods that could not speak, gods who could not understand, gods who did not care. They were false gods. So Moses couldn't use any other entity to which he could compare the God of Israel, because the God of Israel is incomparable. Now I want you to look at the way Moses defined or described this incomparable God. Look at verse 26. He said this: "There's none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help. That statement rideth upon the heaven. Man, I read that and I thought, wow, that's an incredible statement about an incredible God. He rides upon the heaven. It's mentioned two other times in the Old Testament. God is referred to as the one who rideth upon the heavens. They say, what is that all about? Riding on the heavens speaks of God's greatness. Riding on the heavens speaks of God's glory. Riding on the heavens speaks of God's position. You see, people, God is not confined to the boundaries of gravity. He is not limited to earthly boundaries or earthly parameters. He rides upon the clouds. The clouds are His chariots. And God speeds across the heavens. And why does He do that? He said, Moses said, the reason God rides upon the heavens is to help His people. You know what Moses is saying? There is none like unto this incomparable God who rides across the heavens to come to your help. He rides, God moves heaven and earth to help His people. What other God is like that? What other God can do that? No other God can do that, folks, but the God of heaven, the God of Israel, who rides upon the clouds to the help of His people. The truth of the matter is, God did move heaven and earth to help His people. Do you remember when they came out of the land of Egypt? They came against the Red Sea there, and that formidable body of water. And here they were. They were caught up against it. And the Pharaoh and his Egyptian army coming from behind them, and with the intention of killing them or bringing them back and making them slaves again. They were between the devil and the deep blue sea. And here they were. What were they going to do? And the people began to, you know what happened, folks? I'm going to tell you what happened. God came riding across the heavens on His chariot, and He blew with His nostrils, if you will, that east wind. And those waters parted, and they stood up like walls, frozen ice, if you will. And the children of Israel walked across on dry ground. What God is like that God? What other God can do such a miracle like that? He rode across the heavens. He rode across the sky. He moved heaven and earth to help His people. His people got in a situation where they had no food. And God turned the dew of the earth into manna, made it like a coriander, a wafer, and it tasted like honey. And God fed His people with that. God rode across the heavens and jumped in His chariot, if you will, and rode across the heavens to the help of His people and provided food for them in the wilderness. They got tired of the manna. And they said, we'd like some meat. And God moved the strong wind again. And the wind brought the quails. His people ended up in a place where there was no water. And He said, Moses, strike a rock. And He jumped on a chariot, if you will, and rode across the heavens to bring water from that rock to feed, to take care of His people in their drought. They came to a place where the waters were bitter. You folks know these stories. I don't want to belabor them. I'm just making the point this morning that after 40 years with the people of Israel in the wilderness, Moses stood before them and he said, hey, people, you have an incomparable God. There is no God compared to your God. Who is the God of Israel like unto? There is no God like unto Him. He is incomparable. He rides upon the heavens to help His people. Now, that's fine and dandy, and I rejoice in that, and I can shout about that, but I'm going to tell you something even greater than that, folks. Our God hasn't changed. He's unchanged. He is the same God today that He was in Moses' day. You know what that means? That means our God is still incomparable today. Who are you going to compare Him to? Allah? You going to compare Him to Allah? Who are you going to compare Him to? I saw one of the funniest things. I saw an ISIS skateboarder on video this week. He was riding down the street in his long tunic and his robe and skateboard, and he tripped and fell. When he landed, the suicide blew him up. Amen. But anyway, I think it was made up, but it sure was funny. I did enjoy it. You have to see it to enjoy it. But who is God like to? God's not like Allah. God is not like Buddha. Who are we going to compare God to? The answer is, our God is an incomparable God. There is no God like unto our God. Our God has eyes that see. Our God has ears that hear. Our God has a heart that cares. Who are you going to compare God to? You can't compare God to anybody. And folks, by the way, He still rides across the heavens to help His people. Oh, yes, He does. He still moves heaven and earth. He is still not bound by the laws of gravity. He still is not limited by earthly parameters. He still rides upon the clouds to help His people. I'm not preaching to you something you don't realize. I'm just reminding you of it this morning. I was thinking about this message this week, and I remember all the way back in Bible college. And we would go up into the city of Chicago on Saturdays to visit for the bus ministry and take the bus up there on Sunday and bring the kids to church. And one Saturday, for some reason, I was by myself in my vehicle following the traffic up to Dan Ryan. This is years ago, in the 70s. And it's Saturday morning. It's like, 10 o'clock Saturday morning. I'm headed to the bus route area. Got 100 things on my mind with college and all that going on. And I'm riding in my car there, and I'm following a semi-trailer. And that semi-trailer looks like some scrap on it, I can't remember exactly what all, but it was just some iron pieces of steel, and just some scrap on there. And you know what? The truth of the matter is, there was no traffic jam. We were driving. I was in the middle lane. It was in the area of the Dan Ryan before the express and the local lane split up there. And I'm riding along behind this semi-trailer, and I don't even know what I was thinking about. I wasn't thinking about the semi-trailer. I wasn't paying attention at all, and we weren't pressed for traffic. We weren't pressed for time. I was just following along, 65, 70 miles an hour in that middle lane. And for some reason, I'm not like this. I got out in the outside lane. Now, my dad taught us not to drive in the outside lane unless we were passing. That's the passing lane. Some people don't know that. Some people think that's a wonderful lane to get in and go 50 miles an hour, which is the cause of road rage. But anyway, sounds like you've been there, a few of you. Amen. Oh, but anyway, I don't drive in the... I only get in that lane to pass. But when I got in that lane, I didn't pass the semi. Because there was no need to pass the semi. And I'll promise you that God is my witness, and I'm being generous with this. I hadn't been in that lane 30 seconds. In fact, I'm sure it was much shorter than that, but just to be safe. I was in that lane 30 seconds when all of a sudden, some piece of scrap on that semi-flatbed trailer came loose. And folks, it came... a big piece of chunk of lead came flying off the back of that semi-trailer. That semi-trailer was going 65 miles an hour. And I saw it in my mind. I saw it on that peripheral. And I'm looking, and when I'm watching that thing fly by, it's in my line of vision, which means I'm sitting in the car. It's right there by the glass. And it dawned on me. If I had been following that semi-trailer, that piece would have come right off and gone right through. And you've heard of things like that happening and killing people in their vehicles. I have no idea what made me change lanes. No idea. I didn't think about changing lanes. It wasn't planned. It wasn't intentional. I just changed lanes. I'm going to tell you what I think happened. I think I belong to an incomparable God who rides across the heavens to help His people. And I think God looked down at a pitiful college student with his mind on everything else in the world except for driving a vehicle in Chicago traffic. And God jumped in His chariot and came roaring down across the heavens and just kind of moved my car over into the other lane so this old boy wouldn't get killed, not have the pleasure of being married and have children and know you folks. I believe the God of heaven rode to my help that day. You call me superstitious, you call me a spook, you call me whatever you want to call me. You're goofy. I'm having a good time being goofy. I believe with all of my heart that I serve an incomparable God. He rides across the heavens to our help. That's happened to you. We could stop right now and take time for testimony. And you could stand, some of you, and say, Pastor, we were on a trip and we got delayed by 10 minutes. And we were frustrated and aggravated because we got delayed by something that was out of the blue. And then we finally got back on the road. And 10 minutes down the road, we came upon an accident where there was an ambulance. That happened to us going out east some years ago in Ohio. We got delayed and held up. And you're on a trip, you don't want to stop. Ladies, do you hear that? When you're on a trip, you don't want to stop. You like to get in the car and go and get there. And, because the fun is there. It's not stopping at all those little places and everything. And we were aggravated and frustrated. And when we got way delayed by a line of traffic. And then we saw a helicopter coming in the sky and landing on the interstate. And they life-flighted people from that accident through a helicopter to some hospital. It was such a devastating accident. And, you know, you can't always accurately calculate where you would have been. But I'm going to tell you something. When you look at the time that we were delayed and the time that we were on the road, you've been there. You've done that. You've seen the God of heaven ride across the clouds and come to your help over. You name another God who does that. You name another God who does that. The incomparable God of Israel is our God. You can look back in your life and you can see where God came to your rescue. There's something else Moses said about this incomparable God. He said in verse number 27, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." Moses said, "Hey, people of God, not only did this incomparable God ride to your rescue and move heaven and earth to help you, He carried you when you needed Him. He protected you. He was your refuge. Underneath you were the everlasting arms to catch you and to carry you and to support you and give you rest." And He did that to the people of Israel. You remember that? You remember the stories in the Old Testament, how God protected His people and watched over them and carried them? And people, the same is true about our God today. He carries us in times when we need Him to. He carries us through dark days, through unstable times. God is our refuge. We have rested in the care and the compassion of His everlasting arms. We've rested there sometimes without even realizing it. I stopped by Sam's grave this week, up at this little cemetery there north of the house, and I hadn't been there for a while, so I walked out, and Joyce had been there not too long ago on the day Sam died. I think she visited the grave, and so I hadn't been there, so I stopped and I went. It was quiet. It was still. And it was a beautiful day. I think it was yesterday. In fact, it was yesterday. I stopped there just when I was coming home from visiting, just for a few minutes, and you know, I was thinking about that time in our lives when little Sam passed away, and I was thinking about the day when Ben called and said, "Dad, Mom, I don't know how to say it. I just have to tell it to you like this: our son is in heaven." And boy, it was just woof. I couldn't believe it. And then how they came, and how some of you folks came to that cemetery, and we put little Sam's body in the grave out there. And I remember going to the airport and picking up Ben and Ashley. And, you know, I remember the fragility of those days, how everybody's emotions were fragile. And it dawned on me standing at that grave yesterday with this sermon boiling in my heart and boiling in my spirit. It reminded me and dawned on me how much God carried my son and his wife in those days. And God supported them and undergirded them and strengthened them. And God did the same for me and my wife. And you can look back at dark days in your life and difficult times in your life and fiery trials in your life where God carried you and undergirded you and strengthened you. When you look back on it now, you realize how God was there and He was your refuge. What God is like our God, folks? There is no God to be compared to ours. What other people can claim that? What other group can talk and testify about a God like you and I can? Our God is a great God. He's a God that's incomparable. There's nothing to put beside Him. I could stand here for hours and describe Him through metaphors and through similes. And after hours and hours of using countless words and countless phrases, I would finally have to give up and say, "People, there is nothing, there is no one to compare our God to. He's an incomparable God." Incomparable God. That's what Moses said at the end of his life. He's an incomparable God. Phew. Incomparable. But then he didn't stop there. Later on in his speech to the people, the last words that Moses gave to them, look at this. The last words he said to them were verse number 29, where he said, "Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord." So you've got the incomparable God of Israel. And then number two, folks, you've got the incomparable Israel of God. "Who is like unto thee, Israel?" This was the name for the nation of God's people. They were Israelites, the people of Israel. And they were a special people. You can't read the... Folks, the majority of the Old Testament is written about God's dealings with Israel. It's not written about God's dealings with Moab. It's not written about God's dealings with Ammon. It's not written about God's dealings with any other. It's written about God's dealings with His people, the nation of Israel. There's no disputing that as you read God's book, they're a special people. Now look, there's no doubt but that God has punished and will punish His people. He has punished His people severely in the past. And God's going to punish His people severely in the future. In fact, there is coming a time that is called Jacob's trouble. That's a reference to the nation of Israel. And it's going to be a time on earth the likes of which has no comparison. And God is going to punish His people for rejecting His Son, Jesus Christ. And it's going to be difficult and it's going to be tough. But God will punish them. And I say to you and me, we better let God punish His people and we better keep our hands off of them. Because they're a special people. You say, Pastor, you kind of sound like you're pro-Jewish. Absolutely. And plan to stay that way. And I'm not condoning everything that some of the most vile entities, organizations, companies, some of the most vile, all of your Hollywood movie companies are owned by Jewish people. I'm not condoning all they do. I'm not endorsing all that they're involved in. Not one bit, but I'm telling you folks, they are God's special people, and it's not up to me and you to punish them. Let God take care of His people. You, as parents, you are the ones that wanted to punish your children. You want somebody else doing it. And that's how God is with His people. And this is how Moses did it. Moses said, "Who is like unto thee? Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee?" Who's like unto the Jewish people? And look how Moses described them in verse 29. O people saved by the Lord. Now, you know, this is probably more a reference to God's physical protection because He mentions the shield and the sword, the shield of thy help, the sword of thy excellency. You know, and God had saved them and God would save them again. And folks, look, we don't have to go back to the Old Testament to see God saving His people. Go back in just a few years. Go back to 1973. Go back to 1967. When those Arab nations came against Israel, that one, have you looked geographically at that one little country over there? Landlocked. What is it? I think at some points from one border to the other, it's just like 10 or 12, 8, 10, 12 miles. You're talking about this little bitty nation surrounded by all these Arab countries. And they come against Israel in war. And time again, the Israelites are victorious. It's incredible. Because God is their shield and God is their sword and God is their help. And Moses had been with these people for over 40 years, including the time in Egypt, over 40 years. 40 years in the wilderness and the time in Egypt. And Moses had seen the best of them and Moses had seen the worst of them. He had seen the best of times. He had seen the worst of times. And you know what Moses' conclusion was? After seeing it all, 40 plus years of the good and the bad, the bitter and the sweet, Moses' conclusion was, people of God, there is no people like unto you. You are an incomparable people. And friend, I want to say that is still true today as well. There is no comparison to being a child of the incomparable God. There is no comparison to being a born-again child of God, born into God's family through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, saved, born into His family. I know He's talking about physical salvation for the Jews here, but how much can we apply this to you and me? Oh, people saved by the Lord. People saved from the penalty of sin. People saved from the punishment of hell. People saved from the power of Satan. People saved from the poverty of oppression. No wonder Moses said to them, "Happy art thou. Why not? When you stop and consider how wonderful it is to be saved, to be a child of God is an incomparable blessing. Incomparable blessing. Now, I know you and I are still bound by the laws of this earth. We're still haunted by a sin nature that drags us down. We're still haunted by a sin nature that hangs on in us. We're still tempted by the devil, and sometimes he succeeds in getting us to fail and fall into sin. We are subject to physical sicknesses. We are subject to emotional valleys. And some of you might be going through something like that this morning. But I want to tell you, stop for just a minute this morning in this message and consider how precious it is to be a child of the incomparable God. What a privilege! It's not for us to hold our nose up in the air like we've accomplished some great thing. It's only because, like we sang this morning, only a sinner saved by grace. Nothing that you and I accomplished on our own. This is all the result of the grace of God and the mercy of God and the love of God that you and I could be born into His family. What an incomparable thing to be a child of God. Yes, the burdens get heavy. Yes, the trials at times are fiery. Yes, at times we murmur and complain and we get our attention focused on those things that are against us. But folks, stop and think about what we are saved from. And stop and think what we are saved to. And brother, when you stop and think about it, it's enough to cheer you up and encourage you this morning. You are an incomparable person this morning if you belong to the incomparable God. And I'm not trying to pump you up with a bunch of psychological babble, yay, pep rally stuff. I'm telling you what Moses told these people. He told these people that there's no one to compare to the incomparable God, and because you belong to Him, there's no one to compare to you. He rides across the heavens to help you. He carries you in His arms and undergirds you, and you are a... Jareth and Bailey are part of the Providence College Tour Group this summer, the girls' group, and they'll be here on Father's Day. That was a special calendar arrangement. Amen. They're here on Father's Day. And so, looking forward to seeing them. They were down in Texas, in San Antonio, yesterday. They've been in Texas, in Oklahoma, Missouri. And Brother Hall and Mrs. Hall are with them, Mick's mom and dad. And they took them to the Alamo. And while they were visiting the Alamo, they had a wonderful time. Thoroughly enjoyed it. They got this text. We're at the Alamo today. You know, faces and signs and thumbs ups and all this stuff that you do nowadays. And then we got a text yesterday afternoon. And when they came back to the van, here the window was smashed out of the van. The door was open, and a bunch of their stuff was stolen. Bailey had her wallet stolen, and one of the girls had her iPad stolen. One of the girls had her laptop stolen. Brother Hall thinks. He texted me, he said, I think that we actually walked up on them and they heard us coming. He said, because they left a lot of valuable stuff that they didn't touch. Nothing of Cherith's stuff, as far as she knows, was taken. And they just kind of grabbed assorted things and they got Bailey's social security number was in her wallet. You know how that scares you in this day and age. And you know, those girls were shaken. They're 18. I never had my house broken into. I never had my vehicle broken into. Never happened to me. I don't know if it's happened to you or not, but I know this. I know enough people that have, that people feel violated. They feel invaded. They start getting your personal belongings. And Jackie stopped this morning when she dropped Lauren off at the bus. She stopped and said, you know, do you have any suggestions? And we talked a little bit about and I said, how's she doing? And she said, you know, she's shaken. And so after Jackie left this morning, I texted Bailey and I said, Bailey, I know you're sad this morning and a little bit shaken by what happened. I'm thankful nobody got hurt. I'm glad you're safe. And you know what? You probably will be an unbelievable blessing to the church you're in this morning because God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. And when you are down, and when you're under a burden yourself, and when you're carrying the load, and you try to be a blessing to somebody else, Brother, God touches that. God blesses that. God, I said in that text, it wouldn't surprise me if you didn't experience the touch of God on your life this morning like you've never touched it before. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of people we get to be. We get to be a kind of people that when we're at our worst, it's actually our best. Because when we're at our worst, God steps in and strengthens us. And God has never been attracted to weakness. God has never been attracted to strength. He's never been attracted to the attitude of, I got this, I can handle this, I don't need anything. God's never been attracted to that. He is attracted to the broken and the weak and the hurt heart and the person who just dries their tears and marches on for the glory of God, says, God, I need your help. Folks, we are an incomparable people, not in ourselves, but in the fact that we belong to an incomparable God. I'm beside myself this morning. I can't help it. This text has literally just got in my heart and soul this week. What a joy to be a Christian. I understand the burdens. Man, I tell you, I've carried Mike Johnson on my heart for a week and a half now to get a phone call that your mother was taken in and found out that she has esophagus cancer and said 3 months to live. My heart has been with him and others of you. And we do. We have these burdens. We have these trials. We have these difficulties. But our God rides across the heavens to be our help. He is our refuge. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Rejoice! I don't mean be silly and giddy and childish about difficulties, but friend, through it all, put a smile on your face and rejoice in the fact that you are an incomparable person because you belong to the incomparable God. Man, allow yourself to enjoy this incomparable blessing. It takes attitude control. Attitude control requires our minds, emotions to be controlled. You can allow yourself to sink into the mully grubs, thinking only of your problems, your difficulties, yourself. Or you can allow yourself to be encouraged through the fact that I'm one of God's people. And I'm incomparable because I belong to an incomparable God. I am a person saved by the Lord. And I love that statement, oh people saved by the Lord. People, that's who is invited to be saved. All people. You can't leave anybody out. Everybody got the invitation. Everybody's included. Saved, that's a Bible term. Saved from the penalty of sin. Saved from the power of sin, of the sin nature. Saved someday from the very presence of sin. Oh people saved, rescued, hallelujah, redeemed, taken care of, people saved by the Lord. Not saved by the baptistry, not saved by the communion wafer, not saved by the church membership role, saved by the Lord. Saved by the Lord. Incomparable. I was preaching here on Wednesday night, the graduation exercise for our kindergarten and eighth grade. We didn't have any seniors this year, first time ever not to have a senior in our school. And I had some seniors in the church, the high school, the home school, but not in our day school here. And so I was preaching along, you know, and I had the message here that I preached, and I talked about, where is it? Oh, I typed it out. It's not in this book. That's right. I typed it out. It's another page. I preached on, I don't remember the name of the message now on Wednesday night, but I included salvation. And it wasn't in my notes, but I knew that we had lost relatives here. And so if you were here Wednesday night, I came down pretty hard. I just talked about salvation pretty extensively. And I did it because we had lost relatives of one of the kindergartners here. And, you know, the service was ended. You never know how that stuff goes. And I'm standing right down here, and one of our teenage boys was waiting. There's three or four people I talked to Wednesday night. He stepped up and he said, Preacher, he said, as sure as I was sitting out there tonight, God told me that I'm not saved. And when you said to sit in your seat there and give your heart to Christ and trust Him as your Savior, He said, I did that. I got saved tonight. Saved by the Lord. Mom and Dad can't save you. And a good church can't save you. And a baptistry can't save you. It's the God of heaven who brings conviction to your heart and shows you that you're not a child of His and brings conviction there and then points you to Jesus Christ and said, through the Christ's death, burial, resurrection, there's your payment, there's your way to become a child of God. And He says, oh, happy art thou, O people saved by the Lord. We have an incomparable life. Jessica's dad texted me this morning and he says, prayed for you. What an incredible life we get to live. And I texted him back and said, man, that's what I'm preaching on this morning. I'm preaching on how incomparable it is to be a child of God. It doesn't exempt us from heartache. It doesn't exempt us from trouble. It doesn't exempt us from difficulty. But through it, we have an incomparable God who rides across the heavens to carry us. What a people. What a people. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, man, for any other reason, give your heart to Christ, because it's an incomparable thing to be a child of God. Because He's an incomparable God. Well, I said I could stand here for hours and hours and talk about God. And I had come to the conclusion that He's incomparable. So you know what? I'm done. Aren't you glad? It lasted about 38 minutes. He's an incomparable God. That's all I can say. Who's He like, Pastor? He's incomparable. What's it like being a Christian? Incomparable. It's incomparable. It's just wonderful. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, it's a joy to be saved. And it's a joy to have You as our God and our Father. And Lord, I do pray, and I don't mean to be silly and ridiculous, Lord, there are people in this room that are carrying heavy burdens this morning. I think about those girls. Lord, they're shaken. I'm glad they're with Brother Hall, Mrs. Hall. But I pray they'll feel Your touch today. I pray You'll ride across the heaven and come to their help today. Lord, this sermon penned on paper long before that ever happened. Lord, we look back in our lives at times when You rode across the heaven to help us. You moved heaven and earth to be with us, to help us, to protect us. You provided for us. You carried us when we didn't even realize it. When our hearts were so broken and our hearts were so sad, we could barely put one foot in front of the other. You carried us. What a God. Oh, Lord, if there's somebody in our midst today not saved, please, please speak to their heart this morning, today. And show them how wonderful it is to be saved and belong to the family whose Father is the incomparable God. Please speak to hearts. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking. I wonder if there's someone here this morning who said, Pastor, that message today, the theme of it was an encouragement, a blessing, and a help to me in a time when I needed it. The Lord spoke to me in a specific way today. Would you just raise your hand and acknowledge that before God this morning? Slip it up, take it right back down. If that's you, God bless you. Amen. I see your hands several places. God bless you. That's wonderful. Anybody else? I should have raised my hand. God spoke to me. It was a help to me today in my pew where I sit. I should have raised my hand just then. Anybody else? All right. Now, I see. God bless you. Is there somebody here today? Pastor, I'm not saved. I'm not part of that incomparable family of God. Not part of it. I don't think I belong to God. I know I'm not saved, not born again. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please, this morning? Just hold it up for a second. Would you please let God speak to you? It's an incomparable thing to be a part of God's family. What a joy. What a help. Anybody. Front to back, side to side. Anybody. Like that today. If you're here today, you've been saved, and you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, now's the time to come. Or if you need to talk to somebody about that, now's the time to come while we wait. Just come on right now. We'll help you get ready for that right now. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And you come this morning, if that's you, if you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Or you've talked to us about membership, and you know this is the place where God wants you to join, like some have recently. We're happy to talk to you about that or visit with you about it. Or whatever. The most important need this morning would be salvation. So if you're not sure that you're saved, then you ought to come today and let somebody take a Bible and show you how to become a child of God. One of those incomparable people of God. And then, child of God, if you are saved, Why don't you rejoice this morning and take heart, even in your time of difficulty, in your time of trial. Lift your head up and be grateful this morning that you are the child of an incomparable God who rides across the heavens to help His people and carries them when they can't walk on their own. What a great God. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Father, bless our hearts and heads this morning. And God be with us, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, the ladies are playing. You raised a hand. You ought to honor the Lord this morning by being responsive to His Word. You come today while we wait. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. We belong to the incomparable God.